If you would, just real quickly with me, would you stand with me as we read the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 4? It's kind of a beautiful thing when we stand in honor of God's word. And I see the breeze is going to blow my Bible pages a little bit. That's good. It feels good. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Yeah. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look into Your Word this morning, and we really ask the question, what is our calling? I pray, Lord, that You would answer that in the hearts and lives of every individual here this morning, and everyone who will tune in to this message later and hear Your Word. Bless Your servant this morning as he shares the message that You have given to him in Your Son's name. Amen. That interesting there, this is written by Paul. Paul was in prison. Paul is an incredible character from Scripture. He went through life serving the Lord with everything that he had. Come hell or high water, he was faithful to the gospel. And here he is in prison, and he's writing a letter out to the church in Ephesus, and he tells them, I may be a prisoner, but this is what I want you to do. So this is a letter he's writing to the church, and he's writing this to us. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What is that calling that you have received? It's what I want to talk about this morning. It's very fascinating that one of the first words used for the church, a Greek word used for the church, was called the ecclesia. And the ecclesia is a term that has transformed into what we talk about as the church. But that very first word, when those original writers of the New Testament and the letters, and they wrote about the body of Christ and the people of the church gathering together, they talked about the ecclesia. We are the ecclesia. And what that word means is that we are the called out ones. That we have been called out. It's really this idea that we were going one direction with our life and we heard the voice of Jesus. He called to us. And we heard the call, we accepted the call, and we made a decision that we would follow Jesus the best that we could. It's really kind of what it all starts out to be, right? And it's all He's asking for us is to follow Me the best that you can. And it's a calling that we have been called out. The church encompasses all humanity, all humans that have been called by God and called out of the world. This is kind of a pretty common idea of what the church is. That we're called out of the world to be separate from the world. And for many churches and for many Christians, this is exactly where we stop. I have been called out of the world and I'm going to hang out in my holy huddle and that's where I will remain for the rest of my life. Separate, but not equal. Separate and different. Now God wants us to be separate from the world and He wants us to be different from the world. But this word ecclesia doesn't just mean called out. It doesn't just mean called out and separated. It also means called to. So from the very beginning, the very birth of the church, it has always been a missional movement. Christians have always been missionaries. We've heard the voice of Jesus. He calls us out of the life that we were in. He calls us out of the world. And then Jesus calls us to go back. He calls us out and then calls us to. See, we are called to go back to the kingdom of darkness. Not as darkness, but as these pockets of light, as these agents of light. There's a couple verses that really talk about what I'm driving at here. One of them is in Colossians. It's really just a couple pages further in there. Right at the beginning of Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. Paul writes what we're talking about in this way. He says, "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way." It's almost exactly what Ephesians 4, chapter 1 says. He says, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you received." And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 here, he says, "So that we can walk in that way. So that you will live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. So that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Jesus rescued each and every one of us from the kingdom of darkness. And He transferred us into the kingdom of light. And now, as agents of light, He sends us back to the kingdom of darkness. Not as darkness, but as light. As pockets of light. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, He talks about this same light transforming kingdom in a different and interesting way. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, verses 8 through 13, he says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light." That last verse is so unique. It's so interesting. See, as God sends us back to the kingdom of darkness as light, we are going to, what? We're going to shine. We're going to make the deeds of the kingdom of darkness visible, right? It's going to come out into the light. And when we're called to share Christ with those around us, we're transferring light. And the verse that says, anything that gets illuminated becomes light. So He sent us back into the kingdom of darkness as agents of light to spread the light. That's why really one of my favorite things to do in the church is a candlelight Christmas Eve service. It's one of my favorite things because of what the light and the candle represents. There's a worship song that I've been listening to recently that talks about how my heart is a wick and Christ's love is the flame, and I want to burn for Your name. Like, I want to burn Jesus. I want to glow and illuminate and radiate Christ out of my life. When I'm walking in this world and Christ is coming out of me, it is going to expose the deeds of darkness. Because it's that whatever is in darkness is going to become visible because the light of my life. And then when I come in contact with people and I transfer my light to them, then they shine like the sun as well. And we are taking the light, the candle that's inside of us, and we're spreading it to each and everyone around us. And the Holy Spirit is that flame. And we saw that in Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes as this tongues of fire on top of the people. It's this imagery of this candle this lighting our lives on fire and we're burning out for Jesus. This called back to is your ministry. This is your works of service. This is action. This is what we do as people of faith, as a body of Christ, as the church. We go out, and that is our ministry. That is our works of service. And you know what it is? It is compassion. It is compassion. That word compassion comes from two Greek words, kom and patti. And kom means with, and patti means suffer. It really means to suffer along with. You might have read the word long-suffering in the King James Version of Scripture. This is capsuling this idea of what compassion is. That God has called us out of the world. He's transferred us from the kingdom of darkness. We once were darkness to the kingdom of light. We have the light of Christ in us. Now we go back to the kingdom of darkness to suffer along with them. This is the message, and this is the hard message of the truth of the gospel. That for many people want to find Jesus and find the good life and get that good life now, and they no longer want to have any troubles, they don't want to have any sorrows, they want to be wealthy, they want to be rich, they want everything to go right for them. And God loves and cares for every one of us in that kind of way. But what He is saying is, I am calling you to go back in and to suffer with the people who are lost and hurt and broken, that are in the valley of the depths, and they are in suffering and they're in turmoil and they're lost. And yet we have found Jesus. So we're called to go back to the lost, the broken, the hurting, the world, and suffer along with it. Why? Why? Because God is good. That's why. And we are agents of His goodness. And He has called us to show all the goodness of God to the world. Amen. Yes. That's what this church is about, right? All things good. God is good. He loves you so much that He met you right where you were at. In the deepest, darkest place, face down in the ground where there was nowhere else to go but up. And that's where Jesus Christ met you. And that's where Jesus Christ is sending us. Back into the same places. To come alongside of those people so we can share the light of Christ with them. Because God is good. Now you guys have probably heard of John the Baptist, right? The crazy man who was Jesus' cousin. He wore these itchy, scratchy clothes. He ate grasshoppers and honey. And he had this message that he kept repeating out in the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from your sin and repent. And people were flocking out to him and being baptized. And you know what the Scripture calls John the Baptist? They call him the forerunner of Jesus. The forerunner of Jesus. And so we are as well. We are the forerunners of Jesus. Now there's some Christian leaders today that really believe that if we really came together as a church and really pushed the forerunner of Jesus, we may see His kingdom come again. Like Jesus' return would come once we've ushered in this forerunning. I don't know if that's so much the case, but I do know that each and every one of us is called to be a forerunner of Jesus, and this is why. You will see in Luke chapter 3, talking about John the Baptist. Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 3, it says, He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for Him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all the people will see God's salvation. I thought, how cool is that? And then I find it links to a verse in Hebrews where the writer is writing to the church. And he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 through 15, he says, therefore, he's talking to you, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Now, through these verses, there are so many other sermons packed in here. But this idea that he's writing is, we need to make these level paths so that the people that follow behind us, those that are lame, disabled, hurt, broken, they have a nice, smooth, easy road to Jesus. And they have a nice, smooth, easy road to Jesus because we hoed the path. We did the hard work. We carried one another's burdens. We took on their hurt and their pain so that they could find Jesus. And that's why he says, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. It takes strength. It takes courage. It takes the Holy Spirit at work in us in order to even be able to carry out this mission. Now, before you panic, because you're probably thinking, now here comes the 3-point list of what you need to go out and do, followed by the 2 closing points of what not to do. We're just not even going to go there. We're not even going to go there. See, because the reality is that some of us here are probably still in the mess. And we're probably sitting here thinking, how in the world can I go help somebody else when I need help myself? How can I do it? I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I need help. I'm here today and I'm caught in the darkness. I'm caught in bondage and I need help. It wouldn't do me any good for me to tell you what you need to go out and do when you're sitting here crying out for help and we can't hear it and we don't see it. Now, there's probably another group here that are a lot like me, or at least thinking along lines of what I'm thinking, that we're ready and we're willing. Like, we hear the message. We're ready. We want to go. We want to do this. We want to fulfill our ministry, but we don't know what to do and we don't know how to do it. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. I have been ready and willing since I was young, but I did not know what to do or how to do it. It took decades before I ever even became a pastor in the Church of the Nazarene. Decades. And yet my heart was always willing and always ready. So what I want to talk about is the good news. There's 2 parts to the good news. And that's what I want you guys to hear this morning. Whether you feel like you're in the mess and you need help, or you're ready and you're willing to go, but you don't know what to do or how to do it, here's the good news. Part 1 is the Creator God is with you. Jesus Himself said, lo, I am with you always to the very ends of the earth. I love what the psalmist said way back there. He says, Lord, where can I go from your Spirit? And then he lists any place that you can conceive of. And he says, it doesn't matter where I go, your Spirit will be there. And not only did Jesus say that he was going to be with us everywhere we go, he also said that I am going to send you another, the Holy Spirit, the Helper. Whoa! God is for us. God is with us. God is on our side. And He says He's going to go with us everywhere we go. And I can't help but think of 2 Corinthians 3:7, 3:17, sorry, where it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's the good news. That's the good news. When we go out as agents of light into the kingdom of darkness, and we go and we find somebody who is face down on the ground, the good news is that Jesus meets them right where they're at, promised to be with them, and now that the Spirit of the Lord is with you, there is freedom. You can walk free. It doesn't mean that the circumstances and the trials and the problems of your life just magically disappear. But what it does now mean is that the God of the universe is on your side, is with you. And if you want to know what God thinks about the circumstance that you are in, you just need to ask Him. Because you have the mind of Christ with you. Amen. Everywhere. You want to know how He feels about a situation? Ask Him. You want to know what He would do in your shoes? Ask Him. You want to know what He thinks about a situation? Ask Him, and then listen, and He will answer. And He will guide, because that's what He promised. He promised to send the Holy Spirit to teach you and lead you into all things good. Because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. He loves and showers us with His grace and His mercy and His kindness, not so that we would collect it and that we would hoard it, but that we would share it with somebody else. That's the first piece of the good news. The second piece of the good news is that you've got us. You got John, you got me. Look, and others, okay? Not just the two of us. But look at what it says there again in Ephesians chapter 4. A few verses later, in verses 11 through 13, it says, "So Christ Himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Christ Himself gave the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? To equip and train you to do your ministry. See, I have a ministry too. I have a calling. I have a ministry, and I need equipping as well. This just doesn't fall on, hey, you've got a perfect pastor who's called to train you how to do your job. No, we all are followers of Jesus, and we all have our own personal calling back into that kingdom of darkness, and I need equipping and training too. And we all need equipping and training. But see, there's a problem that crept into the church, and it was this ideology of let's let the paid ministers do the ministry. So you have churches filled with people sitting in the pews who hire great people to run the church and to do the ministry, and they only want to sit and be fed. And so what has happened is we have the largest religion today is none. We have a mass exodus of the church. There are people that are leaving the church right and left because there is... Why? Why waste my time on Sunday morning when there's so much other things that I could be doing, because the people in the church aren't ministering to those that are sitting around them? And it's a hard thing to do, which is what we're here for, is we're here to equip and train. The pastor and the teacher's ministry is to prepare the people to do ministry. It's to help you do ministry, to come alongside of you and to encourage you and to support you. And that's good news for both. Because if you're in the mess and you're crying out for help, we're here to come alongside you and help you out of it. And to find the right path to walk in. And then to help you, encourage you, go back. And how you can help and serve other people that may be in the same mess that you're in. That's what a testimony is. Why, you know, the question is often asked, why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know why bad things happen to good people. I'm not going to give you a great answer to that. But I do know what the outcome is. It makes me a better minister. Because now I've gone through what the world is going through. And I've gotten through it because of Jesus in my life. And you can get through it too if you accept Jesus into your life. And let me show you how Jesus can help you. That's ministry. And we all need equipping for that. Now, we have to be careful, John. I don't know if you saw that in there, but we could work ourselves out of a job. Yeah. Verse 13 there says, it does. It says that Christ has given the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers until we all reach unity in faith, and in the knowledge of Jesus, and that we've all become mature. That, to me, is what I learned this week. When you asked, what did God teach you this week? I read that verse and thought, wow, there's an end to my job. I just don't know how I'm going to get there yet, or if we ever will get there. But it actually encourages me to know that there is, it wouldn't be put in there if it wasn't possible, that we could all reach unity in our faith. And we all reach a unity in our understanding and knowledge of who Jesus is and what He's come to do for us. And ultimately, we become mature, experience the full measure of Christ in our life. That I would like to explore more on. I really want to dive deeper into that. What does that mean? What is this maturity that Paul is writing about? Because if I can understand what that maturity is, I can help equip you and train you to reach that maturity, and then I can work myself out of a job. Amen. And that's the goal. That's our goal. Our goal here is to help the church become what Christ wants it to be, a beautiful and holy bride prepared for His second coming. Yes. And that is my message this morning. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes, and we are going to close this service in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, if there is anybody here today that just really feels like they're in the thick of it in their life, there's no peace, there's turmoil, there's chaos, they can't see the light, Lord, I pray that they would reach out to You in prayer, reach out to the pastors and teachers of this church or a church that they've encountered, somebody, Lord, that they believe would listen and understand with an open heart and an open mind. Yes. Lord, let us as a church be open-armed to those around us. People come from all different walks of life and all different backgrounds, and they need the help that You have for them. They need to experience that life-transforming transformation from darkness into the kingdom of light. And Lord, we are Your agents of that. And Father, if there are those here this morning that are just ready and willing, I pray that they would just keep their heart open and receptive and come listening, Lord, to hear Your call and Your direction. Father, there's a lot of exciting things on the horizon for this church. And it's going to need people that are ready and willing to jump in with both feet, not because they have the answer, but because they're willing to give it a try. Lord, I told the church in Cottage Grove many times, it's better to try and to fail than to do nothing at all. And so, Father, we just want to be Your agents of light. Oh, we thank You for this good news. The good news that You are with us. You are for us. And that where your spirit is, where your presence is, there is freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from bondage. You have set us free. Not just set us free, Lord, but you've given us a place in the heavens as a co-heir with Jesus Christ. We share an inheritance with the Son of God. You've given us authority and position as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, so that we can walk free and we can walk with courage and strength. And then, Lord, thank you for the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists and the apostles and the prophets that have been in my life, that are in the lives of the people here today. Lord, you have gifted so many people with an understanding and a guidance and a direction. And may we just be prepared to serve our people with the honesty of heart and integrity of mind. We thank you this morning for your Son's love for us. And we just pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us to go forth into the kingdom of darkness with your light. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.